everyone, and welcome to our two-hour edition of Race Time Radio, live tonight on Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talks. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the Race Time Radio studio. And, Jr., don't you just hate this fall weather?
It's terrible.
Oh, man.
What a just a garbage day outside for weather, but got a chance to kick back and watch some cup racing today. Watch Joey Logano go to Victory Lane over there at the big Kansas Speedway. What did you think of that?
Ah, that was good. It was good. I didn't know if Joey was going to be able to hang on, whether Brad Kay was going to make a run, or whether Harv was going to be the doer and get her done. But you know what? I heard Harvick at the end of it. In some post-race comments, he said Joey was a great blocker today.
And it, 100%.
And he had to be.
You have to with this that aero package that they have going right now. You know, there's plenty of reasons to say that today was a great race, and it was a good, exciting finish.
Yeah.
But, man, to see those guys wide open and you know, not be able to drive up beside one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough to make an argument that it was a good race.
Yeah.
It's tough. You know, it doesn't have what you're used to seeing, you know, from a great cup race.
Yeah.
You know, watching.
Looked like Talladega at times on those restarts. They were all three wide.
On restarts, it definitely does. And you know, they have the draft. They have a little bit of runs, you know, that they get on one another.
Yep.
It just seems like it's a race of not making mistakes. Now, I say that, you know, every race is a race where you minimize mistakes and you end up in victory lane. But in saying that, when you make a minute, you know, a mistake on the racetrack, it's incredible because instead of, you know, you can't figure out a way or fabricate a way to make up ground, but you can instantly lose ground.
Sure.
Which,
you got to have good pit stops all day, and the 22 team did.
Oh, man, they knocked it out of the park. And, you know, when you look at the style and the package that they've got, I think Texas is going to be a little bit different than what we've seen at Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just it's a little bit higher speeds and a little bit tighter in the ends. And you know, you've got that dog leg down the front straightaway, which really throws a wrench into getting into one. It'll be interesting to see what happens down there. But, you know, get me back to the short tracks. I can't wait to Martinsville.
You used to work with Michael McDowell down in the U.S. You were with the 95 team for quite a few years there. Does McDowell still cringe when he goes to Texas?
No. You know,
everybody always asks him.
I mean, yeah.
And the highlight always comes up.
It was always interesting, you know, talking to him about that wreck, that infamous wreck in the Aaron's car down in turn one and two at Texas. You know, it'll be played probably 100 times through all the pre-race and post-race actions, you know, on TV this weekend, and as it always is when they show up there. But, you know, it's really interesting to talk to a driver that goes through something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that goes through a bad accident wherever it is. Because every driver, you know, has one of those in their career. Now, his was over the top.
That was spectacular.
It was spectacular. But, you know, when you talk to a driver that goes through something like that, it's comical because really they put it out of their mind. If they don't, they're done.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If they don't, they're completely done racing. But it was always comical to hear the fans come up to them and, you know, hey, you're that guy that hit the wall
in
turn two. And
refresh my memory. Did he get his bell rung on that or did he get out unscathed?
No, he got out completely unscathed. And now it, you know, he was bruised up and he was banged up a little bit, but he was completely, you know, he got out of the car on his own power, walked to the ambulance under his own power and ended up racing that weekend. Which is spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And it really went to show the advancements of the Car of Tomorrow, right? That was kind of the first big test that the Car of Tomorrow had. And it stood up and obviously,
passed.
You know, with the bigger greenhouse, McDowell's not a little guy.
No,
he's tall. And, you know, there was a lot of there was a lot of speculation, you know, on how those cars would hold up it passed with flying colors. But, it, you know, when you look at big accidents, we you know, just off air, getting ready for the show, we watched Billy Ponch's, I don't know how you say his last name, but Billy had a massive wreck last night at Port Royal.
Oh, and, huge. And huge. Couldn't even recognize that,
it was a car. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, it doesn't matter where you're at. It could be a low speed half mile. It could be, you know, a 2.5 mile super speedway. But there's that chance. Mm-hmm. There's that chance that you could have a terrible incident. And, you know, you look back to even earlier this year, right, at Flamborough Speedway, a tight quarter mile racetrack. We've seen a super stock, you know, lose brakes and drive down through and, mm-hmm. and hit the fence yep. at the end. And you have those hair-raising impact moments at any facility.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if it's Grand Bend with a junior late model.
Yeah, hitting the right spot.
Hitting the right spot. And,
at the right speed.
Exactly. And you know, this is a dangerous sport. It comes, you know, you realize that this is a dangerous sport at those moments.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's definitely, you know, everybody's got to take the precautions from the local Saturday night right up to Cup to make sure that you don't have those incidents and to make sure you can go to work on Monday morning.
Well, let me tell you who we got coming on the show tonight, because I know Susie's busy out there in the other room lining up guest number one. And it is going to be, how about the ARCA 2020 champion? We got Brett Holmes going to join the show. He drives the number 23. Brett did it this year. He is the ARCA champion. He's going to join us right off the top of the show. Also coming up on the show, how about the race winner? Now, Brett didn't win the race, but he did win the war. The race winner was Corey Heim for Venturini Motorsports, picking up his first career win in the ARCA presented by Menard Series, ARCA Menard Series. He did that Friday night at Texas, or at Kansas. Here, you got me at Texas already. Corey Heim is going to join the show. Who is Dexter Bean? Do you know Dexter Bean? Well, you maybe don't. Well, tonight you're going to meet him. He drives in the Xfinity Series for DGM, and I thought it's high time we all meet Dexter Bean tonight. He come home with a 16th place finish just last night at Kansas
yep.
in the Xfinity Series. So Dexter Bean's going to join the show. And then how about big money Matt Williams, Williamson? He won that big Port Royal 200 on the weekend at Pennsylvania. Big money Matt is going to join the show tonight. Let's get to the hotline, shall we, and get this party started with a 2020 champion for the ARCA Menard Series. Let's welcome in driver the number 23 for Golden Eagle. How about it? We got Brett Holmes with us. Brett, how you doing, champ? How are things?
Hey, good, guys. How are you?
Fantastic, man. Hey, good job for you in 2020. What a season. You got a win. You got the consistency. You did it all, man. You touched them all. You hit the home run.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been unbelievable season. You know, we've worked a lot to get to this point, and I'm just really glad it's all paid off. And I knew we were capable of doing it. You know, it's just racing's a very tough sport, and you know, there's a lot of things that could go wrong in a short matter of time. So it's pretty amazing we pulled it off.
Well, Brett, you look back. I know I've been following you for a couple of years anyway in the ARCA series. And a couple of times, you know, last year I'm going, oh, man, the win was right there. You either got a second-place finish or something stupid happened to you, and it stopped you from getting that win. And I would just go, man, I don't know what that guy needs for luck, but he has to have something. You got to find a rabbit's foot or something, because you had the talent to do it. But you just didn't seem to have the luck. Well, in 2020, I don't think it had much to do with luck at all. You created all the moments that you needed to become a champion. And last night, or not last night, Friday night, you did it, brother. You went out, you showed everybody that you could get it done. And I'll tell you, Stacy, your dad looked awful proud of you standing over by the pit box that I seen on television. I just about had a tear in my eye, man. You did them really proud. You did everybody proud.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, last year, we did have a couple instances where, you know, we couldn't find victory lane because of luck. But I think more than that, this season, we were just faster overall. I think I was better as a driver. I think we picked up a lot as a team and, you know, got more of a feel of what I like in the car. And that was really the difference this season. And that's what kept us in the top three, top five in the race. And, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he was definitely really emotional about it because this is a big thing we've invested in. We've poured our heart and soul into it, and have worked a lot to be able to do it. So it's pretty amazing, and it's a good feeling when all of that pays off.
Brett, you've been participating in the ARCA Menard Series since 2016. This is a really interesting stat that I wouldn't have, you know, thought of prior to, you know, this interview. But I pulled it up on Race and Reference and just to take a look at your history within the sport, because really in order to look forward, you got to look backwards as well. And when you look at 2016, you led six laps. You didn't lead a lap in 2017, 2018. You led six laps. You led five laps in 2019. In 2020, you led 393. You spent a lot of time up front this year, and that's gotta feel amazing. Number one, but how do you get from leading five or six laps a season to leading just about 400 laps in 1 year?
Yeah, I mean, it was a different world for me too. You know, like you said, and the stats show it, I wasn't used to not seeing cars in my windshield for a while. So when we first started doing that and being as good as we were at the beginning of the season, it was really cool. And we always kept up a big pace and never let up. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the biggest part of that was the guys on the team this year. We've had Shane Huffman and those guys since last year. But I think, you know, us being together for a second year to kind of build our notebook and update some cars, I think was the biggest thing, really. When the pandemic break hit, we updated a car or two, and I think got a lot closer and really hit on something on our setup. So that's what led us to lead as many laps as we did. And I had I should have came out of the season with a couple more wins than I did. I think we let a couple slip away from us in Michigan and Memphis, but and I-44 as well. So I wish we had a couple more wins this season, but I mean, to see how much we've improved, like you said, from the past seasons to this year is amazing.
We're with Brett Holmes tonight, the 2020 ARCA Menards champion. Brett, have you let that sink in yet? You are the champion. You join guys like Frank Kimmel that have got, I don't know, 10 championships. You join a cast of characters that are synonymous in the sport. Has it sunk in yet?
Yeah, I mean, it took a while. I mean, even right after the race ended or towards the end of the race, we kind of knew it was going to happen. It was just kind of, it hadn't really hit me yet. You know, I was at the end of the race, so I'm still focused on trying to win it and get our car better. But even a little bit after, it was kind of, you know, it really did take a second. It really did. I think, you know, it took me a while to kind of process all those thoughts of everything that we had been through and how hard we had worked through the years, and to finally get what we were trying to achieve was really what led up to that. And you know, it like I said, it's hard to describe, but it's a good feat, and I'm glad we accomplished it with the way we did. And starting our own team, there's not a lot of people that can say that.
So, second in the race, was there big picture racing that was taking place on Friday night? Like, did you have your eye on that championship, knowing that Michael Self was only like 14 or 13 points behind you, I guess? Did you do any big picture racing on Friday night to get that championship? Or were you just letting her hang and trying to win and trying to get Corey?
No, I think there were a couple instances there where I wasn't as aggressive. Like when Corey passed us in the first part of the race, you know, I didn't run him tight or anything like that. I knew he was faster than us. So, you know, I gave him plenty of room there and not like I normally would. But there, and you know, I think a couple other guys in the who were coming in and out of the pits, I think, were you know kind of getting close to us, behind us. So wasn't you know, really trying to push the limit there, but and on restarts, you know, I think could have been a little bit more aggressive too, but you know, you don't want to a restart's an easy place to screw up your whole race or screw up half the race. So you know, was trying to just keep it as clean as possible and keep the big picture in mind. But I mean, the Corey and them, they were faster than us through the race. They were handling a little bit better through the race than we were. So I wish we would have came out with a win with it. You know, having a Golden Eagle syrup as a sponsor coming on that race, and I wish we could have just, you know, it's pretty cool when the champion can win the last race of the year, but you know, so it doesn't happen all the time. So, I'm just glad we got the championship, and that was definitely the bigger picture.
Now, obviously, you know, every champion with every series across the board, you basically become a little bit of a spokesperson, if you will, for the series and for the division that you won the championship. You're an ambassador now, right? And your vote matters a heck of a lot more once you've got your name on that championship. So I got to ask you this question. Obviously, you know, this year was the first time that the ARCA East Series, the former K&N East and West, were kind of under the same rule book and allowed to be on the same racetrack at the same time. The scorecard or report card, if you will, on how that entire deal came together. How do you feel that it went, and what, if any, what needs to be looked at or addressed moving forward with that, with the two series being together?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that we had to juggle with during the season was the motor deals. The races under a mile where you can run the Yates motor, which is the K&N motor, basically, or the Ilmor motor, which is ARCA's really main motor. And we stuck with the Ilmor motor most of the season, but I feel like there were, you know, a handful of races there where the Yates motor was a little bit better. And, you know, that just that comes into the discussion of, you know, costing teams money and, you know, trying, you know, obviously everybody wants the best thing for their cars. They want, you know, to go to the racetrack knowing they've got the best chance to win with the best equipment. So, you know, that was a little thing. And I think, you know, it hindered us from finish, you know, when we finished third and fourth in some of those races or tracks where I felt like it was better. We felt like it hindered us maybe one or two spots. But, you know, but then again, you got to look at it from the other side. It was merging the two series. You need to have, you know, you can't make, you know, 20, 30 plus cars buy a new motor. You know, that's not very logical either. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think that deal is a little hard to juggle, and you can really see it from both sides. And I'm not sure what we could do differently yet. I mean, I haven't talked to Ron Drager yet this off season, but I'm sure we'll. And I know they'll come up with the best decision to make to keep up the car counts and keep the playing field level.
I'm sorry about asking you that question too, by the way.
Put you on the seat. Final question for you, champ. And man, that sounds so good. Brad Holmes with us. So what do we do now? You're the champion for 2020. You sounded very, very optimistic in looking at 2021. Will we see you back in ARCA chasing down that second championship and defending your title? Or are you planning on moving up? Are you heading to a truck one of these days? Or what's the plans?
You know, I'm not sure yet. We've definitely got some decisions to make over the next coming months. And I would like to... You know, right now, as far as me personally, I'm trying to finish up with my school and my senior thesis before I really get into the depths of that. But I think we've got a few options, and I think you'll definitely see us or our team in the ARCA Series next year. I don't know at what capacity or how many races, and you know, there's a chance that I'll be running some races as well, or we might be doing something different. You know, we're not really sure yet, but there's always a lot of options out there, obviously, to get to the racetrack. So we're kind of juggling that, and you know, a lot of it depends on sponsorship as well. So that's going to be the biggest thing I'm working for in the off season, and want to do the best I can. But you know, if I don't get any, then like I said, after the race, like I don't care. You know, I got to work on a job site the rest of my life to get to the racetrack. If that's what I got to do it, then I'll do it. So, you know, like I said, we've got a couple of things to work out, but we'll probably know, and hopefully December sometime, what we're going to do.
Well, that's too cool, Brad. I'll tell you what, you earned this championship, my friend. It was awesome for us to be able to watch you and watch the whole series unfold for 2020. What a messed up season it was. Let's hope 2021 we get practice back, we get all the things back that we were lacking this year. And you know, your phone has got to start ringing when you're the champion in ARCA. It's got to parlay itself into at least a couple of truck rides, if not more. It would be great to see in whatever series you choose to do.
Yeah, well, thank you, and that's the goal. You know, obviously, I think we proved ourselves a little bit in the ARCA series. So, you know, obviously, as a driver, I always want to go for more or go for goals that we haven't attained yet. So, moving up to the next level is really something in, you know, set on my horizon, and something I'd really love to do and get the opportunity to do. You know, if I got to, you know, race ARCA a little bit more, and that's fine too. You know, I just want to be at the racetrack, and I love doing it. I love racing, and I'll do whatever I got to do to be there.
Now, you did mention the job site portion, and I've always wanted to ask you this question, because I know that you guys are into the heavy equipment. You guys are into the big iron. What's your favorite type of machinery to drive or to operate on those job sites? Do you actually get, you know, to operate the stick in like excavators and stuff like that? What's your favorite heavy equipment piece to play with in the soil?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, I get to do that. Most of the time I'm, you know, directing crews in the field and more of a project management role, but I'd say half the time I'm in the field, and I'm not the best equipment operator. That's definitely a really hard thing to do. It's an art, really. And, you know, we do have a couple guys lay out sometimes. It'll, you know, kind of leave it open a little bit for to run equipment for a little while. I think an excavator is definitely one of the harder things to run, but it's the most fun just because it's so different. And I definitely look really uncoordinated doing it, but I really like it, and hopefully I'll get better at it as I go on. But that's probably my favorite, though.
Uncoordinated like a baby deer, right? That's
exactly.
I that's guarantee, awesome. Brett Holmes, you'd be the fastest excavator driver out there.
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe one day, but not right now.
I can hear Stacy now. Get out of that. We'll put you back in a race car. Leave my excavators alone, son.
Pins are a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
That's funny. Right on, man. Well, congratulations. It was a big championship, and loved watching it, you know, put Shane back to work in the shop there, and, you know, congratulations to you and your whole team, man.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it, and thank you all for having me on.
That is Brett Holmes, the 2020 ARCA Menards champion, right here live tonight on Race Time. Great to catch up with Brett. Totally enjoyed having Brett on the show throughout the course of the year, and great to see that he championed in 2020. We are going to hit a quick break. When we come back, the winner of the race for Venturini, he was in a Toyota, and Corey Heim is going to join us after his first career win in ARCA. It'll be great to hear from him tonight, and we're going to do that next, right here on Race Time.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Tonight's Race Time Radio is fired up by Quick Wick Fire Starters. Available online at QuickWick.com. That's QuickWick, QWICKWICK.com. Use promo code RTR on your next purchase and save.
RevTV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. RevTV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. QuickWick fire starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. QuickWick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian, and so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com, enter promo code RTR, and save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. QuickWick fire starters. They work.
Alexa, play NASCAR radio on SiriusXM.
SiriusXM NASCAR radio from SiriusXM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
Wow. It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is SiriusXM NASCAR radio, channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh, USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to East Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
East Street Radio, SiriusXM, Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio, SiriusXM, Channel 167, Canada Talks. Hello, everybody. So glad you could tune in tonight. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior, right here in the RTR studio. And just before we get to Corey Heim, Corey is the winner of Friday night's final ARCA race of 2020. I do have a quick clip with Michael Self that ended up finishing the championship in the second spot. Let's hear now from Michael Self. He's talking about his race.
Just honestly, it's a little bit of a representation of how our year went. We just struggled really bad. We were really, really off in practice, and then started off, lost a lot of track condition. Our car was really, really loose, and then we had some sort of fuel issue where we were losing fuel pressure and the car was shutting off. And battled that the first run, went a lap down, and we were battling that, and the second run was okay, and the third run there at the end, it happened again. So I'm not really sure what was up with that, but yeah, just weren't good enough. I mean, you can't run a championship, running fifth to eighth every week, and unfortunately, we did a lot of that this year. And it's not for lack of effort by any means. You know, we really put a lot of effort into it at Venturini Motorsports. You know, it paid off for them tonight. It's really cool to see Corey back in victory lane. You know, that's great for Venturini. Hopefully something for them to build on, you know, going forward, because this has been a trying year for everyone there. But you know what? Life goes on. I'm glad I got to be here tonight to represent Sinclair and Toyota. It all started here 4 years ago with them in 2016, my first race in ARCA with Sinclair. It's been a lot of fun. You know, I'm proud of what I've accomplished here. I've won on every type of track the series has gone to. You know, that's really, really cool. And whatever the future holds, this has been a great experience and something I'm proud to have been a part of.
Yeah, that's the Sinclair 25. Michael Self finishes up second in the championship points. We've had Michael on the show many times. Great guy and a true professional short track racer, a true driver. You can hear the dejection in his voice, but he kept composure, and good on Michael Self.
Yeah, definitely. He you know, you could hear the dejection, but you could also hear, the reflection back on the season, because there was a lot of times where, the team let him down, or he ran into, trouble on the racetrack, or where he made mistakes, and that's what happens in this game is you're going to run up against adversity, and, coming up second twice in a row, is definitely very difficult, but, motivation, that's,
oh, yeah.
it shows how important these championships are, but it also shows how hard they are to win. And Michael's going to land somewhere. He's a race car driver, and, he's no stranger to victory lane, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with that and with that Sinclair program that they've got going. But Venturini as a whole really struggled this year. It was a difficult season for them, that caught a lot of people off guard. Our next guest, who is on the hotline now, ended up in victory lane and it in a Venturini car. So just a tough year all in all for them, but they'll rebound in a big way.
Absolutely. You heard Michael allude to Corey. We do have Corey Heim on the hotline right now, the winner of Friday night's race at Kansas for the ARCA Menards Series, and it was Corey's first ARCA win. So great deal of cause to celebrate. He's with us now on the hotline. How you doing, Corey? Good job, buddy.
I'm doing great, guys. How are you? I appreciate it.
Doing fantastic. Man, what a run for you. There was nobody catching you on Friday night. You had that number 10, that Craftsman car was just a humming.
Yeah, it sure was. We had, last time we went to Kansas earlier in the summer, we had a great car as well, but had a tire issue later in the race, so... to take what I learned from that race and put it back with the same team, with that speed that we had last time we raced at Kansas, and to put all that together. I knew we were going to be really good, but to go out and prove that was a great, great experience. I'll never forget that moment.
Corey, we've had a lot of first-time winners on this program in from the ARCA series or from the truck series, from the Xfinity series down. And, there's been a tremendous amount of, boosting of your morale from the racing community. There's a lot of people that are big Corey Heim fans. Looking back and reviewing Twitter last night, kind of taking a look through, I seen a note from Rodney Childers, of course, crew chief for Kevin Harvick. Giving you a big shout out, and I always get a kick out of this question, and I always get a kick out of the answers, but obviously winning on that big stage, you get lots of people shouting out to you. What was some of the cool ones that reached out to you last night after you won?
Yeah, definitely Rodney was probably one of the cooler ones for sure. He's obviously been very successful this year with Kevin Harvick. They've won a lot of races, and they're debatably the championship favorites this year. So for him to be such a successful person in the NASCAR industry and, give me credit for, our efforts Friday night now. Just to have any kind of comment and just say that he's been watching for the past couple of years, I thought that was awesome for me. And my dad, of course, knows him as well. So it was awesome to see, people like that of the higher up levels to notice that kind of success that we've been recently having. So that was one of the cooler ones. Of course, Toyota Racing has been supporting me all year long. They were, retweeting stuff like that, and just we won the 100th ARCA race for Toyota Racing this weekend. So that was a pretty big spotlight, I felt like, for me, just to be involved with that and be their 100th win. And it was also my first one with Toyota on the ARCA level. So those are probably the coolest ones for me just to be involved with. But, yeah, there's a lot of support on Twitter, and I couldn't be more grateful to, be a part of that.
Man, you checked a lot of boxes off this weekend. That's exactly what you want to do whenever you guys strap into one of those race cars. When you look at the race itself, it was a fast-paced race. It was a good race to watch. I suggest if anybody missed it, Have a look. You want to have a look at this race. Corey Heim did a great job behind the wheel of that number 10 car. What do you do from here, Corey? Like, this year was the most messed up you could possibly think of. No one could have scripted this season the way it unfolded with no practice time and know this and know that. What was it like to be a race car driver in 2020 and the pressure that's put on you to go out there and win?
Yeah, it's definitely been just such a different scenery with, you know, the one-day shows and no practice, or most of the time no qualifying. Just as a race car driver, you got to, you know, understand that everyone else has to deal with the exact same thing. And just like any other weekend, you got to go out there and just beat everyone else. And that's, you know, that's all it really comes down to. It's definitely more difficult for someone like me or a first-time runner in the series or first-year runner in the series that doesn't have a lot of experience in those stock cars. But, you know, I did run a lot of races in 2019 that kind of lined me up for some races this year. So with that experience, I had a little bit more than some people, and I was able to apply it throughout the year. And definitely paid off this past weekend at Kansas, just being able to run the earlier race in the summer and, you know, apply that knowledge to what I had in the second race. And I really honestly feel like our car was just as good in the first race at Kansas this year. You know, I just didn't have any idea what I was doing, to be completely honest with you. So, you know, to put that knowledge into the second race was huge for me, and we were able to obviously go out and, you know, pretty much dominate the second half of the race. So it was a great experience. And if I didn't have that first, you know, that first prior knowledge from the last Kansas, I probably would not have had the same result. So got a little bit lucky as far as that goes. And, you know, ironically enough, we weren't even scheduled to run this race until all this COVID stuff, you know, sorted out. So in a way, you know, obviously no one wants to, you know, be a part of the whole, you know, COVID scheme, but it actually played somewhat in my favor just so I could have another shot at Kansas, and we ended up executing on it. So it's definitely just it's been a weird year, but the pressure is, you know, the same as always. Everyone's got to deal with the same things on a race weekend. So to be able to go and win the race this weekend was pretty unbelievable.
Well, you got to love it when a plan comes together. And when you're with a team like Venturini, it's kind of cool. They do have notebooks. And when they get a driver, and they usually have a really good keen eye for pitting the right guys in the right seat. But it's kind of cool when they do that with a notebook. I guess that all helps the situation. Big question for you, though. Were you able to avoid the big Italian? Yeah, I know he always loves kissing that guy that wins. Were you able to avoid him? Or do you got to face some music when you get to the shop on Monday?
That's a good question. He gave me more of like an air version of it. You know, they make us wear masks and everything, so they wouldn't be too happy with him if he you know, went for the full effect of it. But no, I mean, I think he was definitely proud of our efforts. And you know, since we were the fourth Venturini car and we were, you know, under a different number and everything, it was a little bit unexpected, I think, on his part, just to, you know, see that car do so well. But I think we had all the pieces to the equation, and we put it all together, and we're able to put a great run together. So I hope I made him proud, and I hope I made the whole stable proud, because, you know, they deserve all the success that they've had in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. They've been, you know, one of the best, if not the best, ARCA team. So I think they deserve all the credit where it's due, and they sure do get a lot of it. So, you know, just very honored to be a part of that organization, and hopefully have more success next year.
A social distancing kiss. That's for the first time ever, man. That's the COVID thing worked out for you earlier, and you got a race out of the deal, but I mean, it worked out real good for you on that end.
Oh,
right?
To avoid, like, Billy.
Hey,
Senior.
That's 100%, man. You're one of the first and only Venturini drivers to avoid that.
Yeah. Well, watch out when you get to the shop on Monday.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, a big wet one's coming.
Oh yeah, we'll see about that.
Corey, now obviously ARCA is top of mind right now, because you just came off of a big win, but we got to talk late model. We at Racetime Radio are late model guys. That's our jam here. We absolutely love all things super late model, pro late model, any type of late model there is. And you know, you're cutting your teeth and going up against the big dogs there on a regular basis. You've kind of stretched your legs over the last couple of years, and you've hit the big shows, you know, like the Winchester 400, the All-American 400s, the Snowball Derby, of course, the Slinger Nationals. You've been hitting these big name races and posting results as well. Take us back through the season for yourself and kind of cover the highlights for any of our listeners that maybe are north of the border and aren't aware of Corey Heim. Where can they expect to see you, but where all have you been this year, and what were some of the highlights?
Yeah, I definitely got to say that it's cool that you guys are big lay model fans. You know, the lay model stocks and the lay model, our pro lay models and super lay models have pretty much consumed, you know, 90% of my schedule for the last, you know, 3 years. So that's awesome that you guys are huge fans of it. I definitely have hit just about every track you could think of in the Southeast for the past 2 years or so. We've run a lot of car store races. We've run a lot of Southern Super Series races, which is mainly just you know, Florida, Alabama, Georgia. You know, we've also run somewhat northern races. Like we've gone to Richmond once. We've gone to I think a few Indiana tracks like Winchester. We've gone to Salem in the ARCA car. But yeah, just a lot of car store stuff, which is mostly North Carolina, Virginia, some South Carolina. You know, we've hit Martinsville. We've run Martinsville in 2018, ran second there. I ran second in the Winchester 400. We've had a lot of strong runs, and we've had a lot of good times in the last 2 years. I think I've run probably 60 late model races in the last 3 years. So for asphalt people, you don't run quite as much as dirt guys. I know dirt guys will run like 90 races in a year or something, but 60 races in 3 years is pretty strong for our schedule. And, you know, we've hit a lot of tracks on the East Coast, and I'd love to go, you know, race some West Coast or north of the border stuff like Jukasa in Canada. I would love to run that pro-lay model race one day, and also want to go west to, like, Kern County, some places like that. You know, I'm up for anything. I love new experiences and new tracks. So, you know, all that kind of stuff is something I want to, you know, check off my bucket list in the next couple of years.
We seen you at Jennerstown, didn't we? Didn't we see you on Pit Road TV at Jennerstown? I'm pretty sure I did.
Yep.
Yeah, that's correct. I think we ran sixth there that night. We ran second for most of the night and had an issue later in the race. But that track is awesome. Amazing facility. I totally forgot about that race, actually, because it was such a long week. We also went to Slinger Nationals, which is literally, I think, 3 days later. Yeah. Later after that event, and it was like, you know, 12-hour drive. So it was just a very long week. But, yeah, Jennerstown was definitely an awesome race.
That's a blur. I couldn't imagine. That's a heck of a – there was a couple of you guys that
did the double. I remember you saying that, Junior. Corey's going to do both these. He's going to be running again in 3 days. I remember that.
And Bubba, too. Bubba did that as well. Yeah, and that was – that's definitely it. That's asphalt's version of the Hell Tour right there. That's getting after it. That's a lot of highway time.
Yeah. It was an awesome experience. It certainly was somewhat of a blur, but, you know, we had two tracks that I've never seen before in, you know, the span of 4 days, and then the following weekend we ran another car store race, so we pretty much ran three races in, I guess that'd be a week. So for asphalt guy like me, you know, that's a lot of racing, but it was all worth it in the end. We had two decent runs and experience that we'll never forget.
Well, I tell you what, you mentioned Jukasa. That's a huge race here in Canada. But you also have to circle on your calendar the IWK 250 in 2021, you know, barring everything. Hopefully everything's back to normal by then. But the IWK 250 in Riverside, Nova Scotia, in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, is the racetrack is really cool. I suggest you Google it. As a late model guy, it'll give you goosebumps for sure just looking at the facility. It's a 3/8 mile asphalt version of Bristol, and it's just a really cool facility, but a big money race as well with super late model cars, and that should be one that's on your radar moving forward. I know you're going to be moving on to bigger and better things, you know, and getting into some heavier stock cars, but you know, next year, if you're still kicking around and poking around in the late model scene, I think that it's definitely one to take a look at. And I wish you all the best, man. I'm a huge Corey Heim fan, and love watching what you're doing, and can't wait to see where you go, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That track sounds like a lot of fun. You know, I love the high banks, and as I said, I love doing new things and trying out different experiences. So definitely, if we have a free weekend and it looks like something that we can, you know, put together. I've never actually been north of the border of the United States or, you know, ever even outside of the United States. So that's definitely something that I'd want to do someday, and hopefully next year we have some time to. So definitely something to look out for me next year.
Well, so cool. You won the ARCA race just Friday night at Kansas to cap 2020 in ARCA. So what's next for you? You getting ready for the Derby? Is that your next show? How many you got between now and the time the snow flies? And what's the plan?
Well, the snow don't fly down where he is. The snow don't fly down where you are, right? Like, it does a little bit, but not a whole lot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that's very true. I don't quite get much of an off season, so we've got, I think, at least five more races down the year. I know this weekend we got the big car store race, the finale. We're chasing the championship this weekend in Greenville, Pickens, South Carolina. It's a 30,000 win paying race, so it's probably the highest purse race we're going to all year. So we got that to worry about this weekend. I'm really looking forward to it though. And then we got the All-American 400 in Nashville the following weekend, and then I think we go out west to Phoenix in the ARCA West Series, and that's their finale as well. So we got, like, you know, then we obviously got the Derby as well. We're going to run that this year with Jet Motorsports. Really, you know, that's the biggest super late model event that you can run. So we got a lot of big events to end out the year, and, you know, it may be maybe a little bit stressful just because there's, you know, all these championship races and, you know, a lot of high stakes going out there, but I think at the end of the day, just got to do what I do and hope for the best. But really looking forward to every single race to end out the year, and hopefully next year we can continue our busy schedule.
Well, Corey, this has been great catching up with you tonight. Congratulations on the win. Good news is you won the race. Bad news is Racetime Radio now has your contact. Man, we're going to be looking in on you from now and then.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate you guys' support.
You betcha. Corey, you have a good one, and thanks so much for the time tonight on Racetime. We surely appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. Hope you guys all have a great night. Much appreciated.
You bet. That's Corey Heim, winner of the ARCA Menard Series race, Kansas. He capped the season with his first ARCA win. Tell you what, this driver, you're going to hear a lot about Corey Heim over the coming years. This kid is the real deal, Junior.
Yeah, for sure. Toyota has got such a knack for finding, you know, young talent. And, you know, when you look at the relationship that he's put together with Toyota, with TRD, and you know, the way that he presents himself at the racetrack, he's just a young kid. And you'd swear he's been doing this for 30 years. And, you know, looking forward to seeing where he ends up over the next three to 4 years. But I can just about guarantee that you're going to see that kid strap into a cup car one day soon. And it's definitely going to be a cool roller coaster ride for him. And definitely keep your eyes peeled on that young driver. And it's going to be a big deal. I'm a huge fan. Like I said, I know we're not supposed to be fans of your drivers, but that's what we do. you know, it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. I'm really excited about it.
Quick break. We will be back with you live tonight on Racetime. Lots more to come, including Xfinity driver. Do you know Dexter Bean? Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to meet him a little bit later in the show, along with how about Big Matt, Big Money Matt. Big Money Matt Williamson won the big race, the 200 on dirt last night. He's going to join us here live on Racetime. Stay with us.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
To Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a QuickWick. These fire starters work. No paper or kindling. And presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes, just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to QuickWick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. QuickWick, they work.
From two wheels to four and so much more, Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name,
Nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Men, Morning Men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen, and I'm Mike Babchak. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me, I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady.
Me,
anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You, talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports.
Me,
I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM 82, and the Sirius XM app.
Time Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you close.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio.
And just like that, we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talks.
No, you can't miss the top of the hour this week.
No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to miss the top of
the hour.
This
week,
you
got to look at that clock,
yep,
and then we got to hit the top of the hour just perfectly.
I am going to tonight.
And if you don't, I'm going to throw something at you.
Well, we got lots of time in between now and then, where we do have enough time to go back and have a listen to a winner of the truck race. The Gander Truck Series, of course, was at Kansas as well. Going to Victory Lane for his first win of the year was Brett Moffitt. Here's what Brett had to say in the media center after the race.
Definitely relief. You know, it's go time in the season, and we've had a pretty rough one on our 23 team, so you know, it's a lot of relief to get to Victory Lane and do it in such a high pressure situation, and knowing that now we have a shot at racing for a championship.
Yeah, so good for Matt. It was a fourth place finish for Grand Enfinger.
Yep.
So it was another good run for him and his Thor Sport champion Ford. Other ones that I was having a look at. It wasn't a very good day at all for Mr. Lessard, our Canadian Raphael Lessard in the four truck. Not a good day for him. Finished 33rd, coming off the win the week before. So not a good day for him. And might also throw in there the 52 truck, always driven by Stuart Friesen, as we all know. Another one of our Canadian guys. Stewie not in the truck because the schedule got turned around and got laid out the way that it was for the truck series. Unfortunately, Stewie had a conflict on his schedule, and he was in that big dirt race that when we hear from Matt Williamson coming up on the show that won the race. It was Stu Friesen that had lead up until 18 laps to go when Matt actually passed him and went on to victory. So Stu wasn't in the truck. He was in his dirt modified at the 200. He was scheduled to be there. So what they did was they put another driver in the 52 truck and had the truck at the race, and they grabbed Timothy Peters. And Timothy Peters come home with a seventh place finish. How about the job by Timothy Peters? Ain't no rust on that man.
No, he's a super sub right now, right? You know, when you look at, you know, towards the end of his driving career, you look at Reagan Smith, and he was in a whole pile of different race cars over the course of a short amount of time. You know, driving for Stuart Haas and Hendrick, and you know, I think he even made a start with a Gibbs Toyota and a bunch of different things with Reagan Smith. But you look at Timothy Peters, and he has subbed for hurt drivers. He's made starts with teams that are trying to grow. He's made starts, you know, in racing equipment that, you know, in various forms, but lots of truck racing. And really, every time he gets strapped back into a truck, he goes out there and performs and
gets
results. He gets results, and that's why you see him still hanging around. He is also spending some time with the late model stock scene. He's got his hand in the Autos by Nelson team down there in the Cars Tour, you know he's not rusty by any stretch. He's still behind the wheel of lots of racing vehicles throughout the season. And how about that? I find it really interesting to see a guy say, hey, you know what, I've got to run this dirt race instead of running a truck.
Right.
Like, but that goes to show the
but
size of these dirt shows.
If Stewie was in the playoffs, if Stewie was in the playoffs, he would have been there.
Yep. And really, the team going through a building year, they knew that they were going to stumble this year,
switching away from
Chevrolet and building their own Toyota program. But, you know, it goes a long way putting somebody else in the seat. Think about all the times where, you know, you've seen a standout driver step aside and let somebody else get behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, usually that's a forced move, right?
Usually
the team is like, you're not performing. And you know, not necessarily the driver, but the team is not performing, so let's do some changes.
Whether it be move
the crew chief or move the team manager on or you know, new spotter, new crew chief. We see those moves all the time. Now, I'm not saying that this is that way.
No.
The team did not do that.
Not at all.
And did not tell Stuart Friesen to step aside. But the value of having Timothy Peters' feedback now, I think that that's going to expedite the growth pattern that they're showing right now.
Tell me something. Did Timothy Peters and Tripp Bruce ever work together like in the past?
Not that I know
of. I can't remember those two guys ever being hooked up, but I wonder if they ever did.
Not that I know of, because I don't know the answer to that.
One of these nights, we're going to have to grab Timothy Peters and get him on the show.
Yeah,
he's a good friend of Race Time. I've interviewed him lots of times.
Yep, great dude.
We're going to get him on, and I'd like to get Tripp Bruce on the show.
Yeah.
Crew chief for Stuart Friesen.
Yep.
Tripp Bruce would be a great time to have on here.
Would be.
And listeners, you get a lot out of him.
Absolutely. When you look at, and kind of going back to my point, the amount of feedback that a guy like Timothy Peters can give to a program over Stuart Friesen, right? Stuart's been racing now full time for, you know, the better part of 3 to 4 years,
mm-hmm.
right? Full time
mm-hmm.
in the trucks. But Timothy Peters has been doing it since day one,
yeah.
right? Or
yeah,
just about since day one.
Just about.
So he's turned a tremendous amount more laps, you know, on some of these racetracks. And I think that just debriefing after that race, sitting down with Timothy Peters and that team getting the feedback from him is going to take that program to a completely different level. And I'm excited to see where that can end up.
I don't want to miss the top of the hour, and we are dangerously close to it. So we're going to throw it back to Scotty in Toronto, get you up to date on some news and highlights, unless you're listening on .com. If you are, enjoy 90 seconds, and then we are going to be back with you for hour two. Dexter Bean coming up, and Matt Williamson also coming up in hour two. Going to be an action-packed second hour live tonight on Race Time. Stay right there. Don't move a muscle. We'll get you up to date, and then back with you for hour number two. Live tonight on Race Time. I'm going to hit it right on the mark right now. Over to you, Scott.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Race Time Radio. With the two Joes here on Race
Next Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins. Presto. How about that? I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the Racetime Radio studio. And coming up this hour, we have Dexter Bean coming up on this very program. And we're going to hear from Matt Williamson. He won the big money last night. $53,000 he won in the Port Royal 200 in his Dirt Modified. So we are going to have Matt coming on this show. But I thought last night, Junior, I was sitting there watching the race and watching DGM. As I always do, of course, Alex Labbe, our Canadian guy, running the number 36 for Can-Am. His teammate forever has been the 92 of Josh Williams, and we've had Josh on the show lots of times. I said, if you keep it up, last night Josh got a sixth-place finish. I said, Josh, you keep it up, we're going to let you be a Canadian. So you just keep it up, and we'll let you be a Canadian. He got a good chuckle out of that. But he saw that those two guys also have one more teammate, Dexter Bean. And I followed Dexter, I'm going to say about a month ago, on Twitter. And you know what? I've never seen an interview with Dexter Bean. I've never heard a peep out of Dexter Bean. And he goes out there and, you know, okay, he finished 23rd this time. He finished 29th this time. And then he had a rough race, and, he come home 32nd. And I went, you know, this Dexter Bean, I don't know who Dexter is. And I bet you there is a pile of listeners out there that don't know who Dexter is, but they see his name in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. That's a second level of NASCAR. You got to be somebody, but I didn't know who Dexter was. And I said last night, I want to find out, I want to speak to Dexter Bean. I want to know who this driver is. And I find far too many times there's drivers that come into the series in all different levels of NASCAR, and they don't really do a good job of introducing and maybe showing the listeners or the viewers who is behind the wheel all the time. And I thought, you know what, Dexter Bean, I want to find out who he is, and I'm going to introduce him to absolutely everybody on Sirius XM Channel 167. And I'm really excited for Dex.
Yeah, for sure. He's been in the sport for a long time, and racing since 2006 in the Xfinity Series, and turning lots of laps, and great guy, definitely, and part of a team like that. You can't say enough about what DGM is doing right now. I know
we talk
about DGM a lot, obviously, because of the Canadian connection and everything like that, but the amount that DGM is getting out of their equipment right now is staggering, and I'm definitely looking forward to hearing from Dexter as well.
Absolutely. Well, good news is, everybody, we have Dexter on the hotline right now, so everybody, let's welcome in Dexter Bean, driver of the number 90 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. He comes off a 16th place finish just last night at Kansas. He did a whale of a job behind the wheel, and let's welcome him in. Dexter, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on here.
I really appreciate the time, man. Like I said to Joe just earlier, man, I followed you about a month ago on Twitter, and I said, man, I want to meet Dexter. And you've been coming along. Your numbers are starting to come. Is that 16th place finish even close to your career best finish in Xfinity, or where's your best finish in Xfinity?
The best finish, I've actually had that this year. I've had a pretty good year for the little bit of laps that I've done over the last few years. I finished 11th at Pocono back in June. Didn't see that coming or expect that, but we had a good day and had a pretty good car to be able to come home 11th, and then having a 16th last night, was right up there with my top finishes that I've had in the Xfinity Series.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, Dex, I was watching the three DGM cars, as I always try and do, and I'm looking up there, and the race just got underway. I want to say it was like four laps into the race, and I know I commented to you after the race. I'm looking at the ticker along the top, and I'm looking, there's Alex, there's Josh, And Dexter, how the hell did he get three laps down? And it's only four laps into the race. There's no way they lapped him. I couldn't quite figure it out. But you ended up with a speeding problem on pit road, right?
Yeah, I kind of had a... I've been around, like you said, since 2006 and had many starts in the ARCA series on these mile-and-a-half racetracks. And it was my first time at Bristol, and I basically just made a driver mistake. I took the start of the race in the wrong line. I was supposed to be starting on the outside. When I was towards the back there, I think we were only two, three cars from being on the tail of the field. I just decided to take the bottom on the start of the race, and I ended up getting a penalty for a restart violation because I didn't start in the proper line. And then, like you stated, as I came down pit road to serve my penalty, I got a little speed happy, and just like that, we were many laps down, and that's hard to get back at Bristol.
Oh, man, that's got to kill the morale inside that helmet right off the beginning of the race. So much emphasis goes into the day. And then to start it out that way, Dexter, what was it like inside that car? Was there blue steam flying in there?
Yeah, that's definitely. You know, I was so busy during the pace laps just trying to recognize the racetrack and look for clues or things to look for as far as making sure I came down pit road on the right pit road. If we had to make a green flag stop, you know, pit road entrance and exit's tricky there. And under caution, we make the full lap on pit road. Under green, you only come down your specific side. And just with all that going on, and it just kind of flipped my mind, and I just couldn't believe it. And in the end, you know, obviously at first I was a little perturbed, like I didn't understand what I was getting penalized for. But, you know, after the race, I kind of put it all together and, you know, understood it was an error that I had made. And We moved on. Like I say, we struggled and didn't really get the finish we deserved probably in the end. I know we ran a lot quicker times than where we finished. But, hey, you know, I had never been to Bristol and had a heck of an experience and appreciated the opportunity that DGM has given me.
Dexter, obviously part-time is the name of the game for you in the Xfinity Series. You know, looking back through, it's not like you've been racing since 2006 and you've been racing every single weekend since 2006. It's been, you know, kind of spotty where you've had, you know, a few races here and there. Talk to us a little bit about the challenges that presents. Obviously, you know, they do a great job in every telecast to promote the fact that, you know, you can lose everything in the span of 2 weeks, momentum wise for a team, and you can gain a lot as you go. But as a part-time journeyman race car driver, I guess that is the best way to put it. Talk to us a little bit about the challenges that presents and you know, how you basically overcome those when you get to those race weekends.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. I know I've talked to a lot of other competitors that even on the local late model level, all the way up to the Xfinity and Cup, to be able to just jump in and be part-time, it's tough. You got to be there week in and week out to be on top of your game and stay on top of all the technology and everything that's changing, to be able to, like you say, make some starts here and there. I've been very fortunate to have DGM basically be my family. My wife is sisters to Mario's wife, so there's the family connection there, and we've been able to be a fun family bunch of racing over the last 10 years. You know, I've been able to help Mario out when he's needed some help driving here and there, and I've been able to come up with some money for a couple of races and help him out when he needed someone to help feed the car or get a car to a racetrack 1 week that he needed some help with. I've been able to do that. So, you know, it's been a fun, say, 5-6 years since DGM got into Xfinity. We've had some awesome times. And like I say, all of a sudden this year, I never would have expected being able to come home, finishing 11th and 16th and running right up there with the front guys.
We're with Dexter Bean tonight, driver in the Xfinity Series for DGM, drives the number 90 car. Dexter, what's hometown for you? How did you get into this sport? Did you run Saturday night at your local racetrack? Where are you from? Let's have some of your story.
Yeah, I'm originally a cheesehead from Wisconsin. I hate to say that tonight because my Packers just got beat bad by the Buccaneers. But I'm originally from Wisconsin, still live in Wisconsin. Grew up running a little bit of go-karts locally here and then hit my local short track at the La Crosse Fairgrounds Speedway here in La Crosse. And each year just decided to do something bigger and better with the family-owned team. Drove for my mom and dad. We had blackjack racing. And when I turned 18, we got into the ARCA series, and we ran ARCA for a couple of years. And that's where I got to know Mario. I was racing against Mario at that time in the ARCA series. And like I said, I ended up spotting a good-looking gal that was helping him out, doing his fuel mileage and stuff like that in the pits, and ended up basically being part of the family. And long story short, you know, I've been able to help Mario out and be able to be in the seat and keep making laps. And that's kind of my story. That's where we're sitting today. And I just can't thank DGM and Mario and Michelle enough for the opportunity that I've been able to hop in their cars and give them everything I can give.
Well, you make the most of it, I can tell you that, because it's steady progress. I've been watching you from a distance, of course, and watching the progression, and it's kind of cool to watch, you know, watching Alex and watching Josh and the whole DGM crew. You've got 25 Xfinity starts. Three times you've been in a truck. You've been in a cup race. What's next on your bucket list of things to do? You want to, I guess, break into that top 10? You want a top 5 finish? What's next? Where's your next goal, so to speak?
Yeah, I think I definitely, you know, I'm trying to pick away and get to that top 10. We were all so close back in Pocono in June. And, you know, to get up into that top 10 with that, those top 10 cars in the Xfinity Series are some pretty stout equipment, big teams, you know, so to be able to run in the top 10 is awesome. You know, Josh was able to do it this weekend. He finished 6th at Kansas, and Alex has been up in there too, I believe, a couple times, and that's some really good finishes, and that's kind of what I'd shoot for, to have a goal, is to be able to, you know, get DGM up into the top 10 driving myself.
Do you have a favorite racetrack that you go to that, you know, when that track comes up, you say, Mario, don't you put anybody in my car. I'm going to be there. I can't miss this one. You got a favorite track?
I really enjoy Pocono. There's just something about the tricky triangle. I've always ran well there. I really enjoy Pocono. And, you know, there's just a whole assortment of tracks that I enjoy, but for Pocono, I've had some pretty decent finishes on, and it stands out to me, and kind of a fair weather fan to that place. So I'll put the tricky triangle down as the favorite racetrack.
Absolutely. And you got the best result at it too, right? That helps.
Right, exactly.
That bumps it up a few notches for sure. Dexter, we talk a lot about DGM and the core group that they've assembled. But I think that there's something to be said about the fact that they are all racers. I think that everybody that walks through and punches their time clock to work at that shop is not just there because it's a job. They're there because they're diehard racers. Would you echo that? Is that the way that it is at DGM?
Yeah, I'd echo that 100%. You know, like I said, we started local up here in Wisconsin with our family-owned team, and we had a lot of help that were racers as well, that were willing to just come because they were there and for the love of racing. You know, it wasn't listed as a job and didn't really care about the pay of it. They just love racing, and I think that's the same deal that DGM's got going on. You know, they got 2-3 core guys that just love racing, and they're willing to give every hour of the day for it, and that's what it takes. You know, there's just a select few that Mario's got that really give their 100%, and they're there for him when they need him. And, you know, without them guys, it's tough, especially, you know, Mario's down in Florida running DGM out of Florida instead of being up by the Charlotte, North Carolina area where all these other teams and stuff are. But I think it shows how much the crew cares. You know, they're willing to put in every hour of the day, you know, loading the trailer at 4 in the morning to get to the next racetrack. That happens quite often, I think. And, you know, you've got a good group of guys there to be able to keep going week in and week out.
We're with Dexter Bean tonight. He drives in that NASCAR Xfinity Series. He's going to light the lamp one of these nights. You're going to want to keep your eye on that number 90 car. Wisconsin, I can't help but think of Johnny Sauter. That's got to be Sauter's area. Do you know Johnny? Do you hook up with him? Do you guys ever get a chance to chat?
Yeah, me and the family, we know the Sauters real well. Actually, when I was running a lot of my ARCA days, my crew chief back in ARCA is actually married to one of Johnny's sisters. So I know all the Sauters pretty well, and definitely talk to him when I get the chance. I haven't yet this year too much because of the whole COVID situation, but definitely cross paths every once in a while and chit-chat, and definitely I'm a pretty good friend.
See, this world isn't near as big as everybody thinks it is. There's a lot of interconnection within it. What do you do 9 to 5? What do you do for a living?
For a living, I play in the dirt. I'm in the operators union here in Wisconsin. I run a construction business, a crew that does municipality work, putting in sewer and water main, and digging excavations for foundations and grading, and playing in the big cat equipment. So that's my 9 to 5. I dig dirt during the week, and then I get to go make circles on the weekend.
Two in one night. I get to ask the same question. We just talked to Brett Holmes to kick the show off. Of course, they have a heavy equipment operating business down in Alabama. Now, we asked him what his favorite piece of equipment. Now, you're not allowed to say the race car, but what's your favorite piece of equipment to operate? Brett seemed to think that the excavator was his favorite, but it was the most intricate. What's your favorite piece of iron to play with?
I'm going to go with the excavator as well. We just got a new one this year that's fully loaded with the GPS capability, and that's kind of my job in the company as well, to create the 3D GPS models, and we run Trimble GPS on all our bulldozers, and we have a backhoe with that now as well, where you have a screen in the machine that shows you basically where you're at and how deep you got to dig, and you know where the finished proposed grade is on a site. And there's a lot of really cool tools that's new technology, and that's got to be my favorite piece of equipment.
Okay, now, so when you make a mistake, it's not really you making the mistake, it's whoever programmed this damn machine.
Well, in an aspect, I'm the guy on the other end on the laptop that builds the surface or the model for the machine, so I know the guy to go to when there is that.
The only excavator was Stagger, I bet.
Yeah, pretty much.
Incredible. And a number 90 on the side of it. I bet you turn a lot of heads when you get to meeting people down there and they say, are you the same Dexter Bean I see running NASCAR?
Right, yeah. I get a lot of guys on the job sites that like to razz me a little bit here and there and want to make comments that they know that think you can get in the top 20 this week or up at the top 15, and we get to play around a little bit during the week, so that's fun.
Well, how many more races do you have booked from now till the end of the year? Are you in the car every time now till the end, or what's the plan?
Well, right now I'm not on the schedule for the rest of the year. Kansas was probably my last one, so I was happy to be able to bring the car home 16th last night for DGM, and who knows what the future brings. You never know. I'm just a phone call away, being the close family that I am with DGM, so you never know when you'll see Dexter being on the racetrack.
I think this was the first interview ever booked while you were on the racetrack, too. I think that's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that was unreal. Dexter, we have genuinely enjoyed this time and enjoyed meeting you. It's great to put a voice now to a driver. I hadn't seen anything on television or even from our friends over at SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. I'm going to have to give those guys a talking to. Man, I never heard no Dexter Bean over there.
Yeah, I've been, like you say, been sneaking up in there, and wish we could have had a couple better finishes, you know, at Richmond and Bristol. I think we could have been right up into those, you know, top 20 as well, but had a couple of problems here and there, which happens in racing, and I understand that. So I'm just, like I say, glad I was able to come home 16th last night, bring the 90 car home in one piece, and put on a good show on for Mario, Michelle, and all the DGM team.
Well, you put a show on for Joe Chisholm, too, because I'll tell you, I was on the edge of my couch watching you guys last night in that race. It was a great race to watch. It was Chase Briscoe going to victory lane. But I'll tell you what, I was keyed in on watching you finish 16th as well, my friend. And that was kind of cool to see. I know I look forward to seeing you back in the car. It's only a matter of time. We're going to see you back in there lots, I hope, one day.
Yes, I hope so. I appreciate you having me on tonight.
Absolutely. Now, just before I let you go now, I follow you on Twitter. But fans can follow you along on Twitter as well, right? Are you on Facebook? How do fans sort of walk along with Dexter Bean?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. If you just punch in Dexter Bean, you'll find my race fan page on there as well. And then I also have the Twitter account as well. If you look up Dexter Bean on Twitter, you'll find the info there. We try to keep everybody up to date as quick as we can. Sometimes it's a little last minute as far as knowing we're hopping in a seat, but if anybody keeps an eye on that, you'll definitely see some information.
Well, we can't thank you enough for the time tonight, and you'll want to get to the shop. I know you're going to be busy tomorrow in the excavator, but take a little bit of time, head to the shop, because I heard Josh is buying lunch because he's the guy that finished the best in the team.
I'll have to hold him to that for sure.
That's right. Dexter, thanks so much for the time, buddy. You have a good one.
Yes, thank you, guys.
You betcha. Dexter Bean, you can check him out in the 90 car for DGM. Too cool of a story.
Absolutely.
Love having guys like that on the show.
Yeah, definitely. And pretty cool. There's a tremendous amount of crossover between heavy equipment and racing, isn't there?
Yeah, there
like
is.
When you look at all the different sponsors that are out there, all the different crew members, it's a mechanical background thing, right? In order to have a construction business or work for one, you got to be mechanically inclined in one capacity or another, and that translates perfectly over to racing. And when you look at the connections that are throughout NASCAR, there's a tremendous amount of heavy equipment crossover, and definitely. Pretty cool to talk to Dexter, and looking forward to seeing, there's been a lot of guys rotate through that 90 car this year. You know, when you look at the Bassetts, you look at Bassett, you look at Caesar Baccarella,
Purdue,
I think, but
Perdom.
There's been a tremendous amount of people through that 90 car. To go out there and finish 16th is definitely a great effort, and good on them, and looking forward to seeing what DGM can produce from now to the end of the season.
Well, that also speaks to not only Dexter as a driver, but the equipment that these guys are getting into. It wasn't that long ago that a DGM car was finishing somewhere between 20th and 25th.
Yep.
That's about the zone that those guys hung out in.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden they started, 15th coming up into that 15 to 20th range. And now look at, they're starting to pop off some top fives.
Yeah.
Some top tens. And that says tons.
That goes back to that racing comment, the racer comment, right? It's, when you look at the sport of NASCAR, there's a tremendous amount of people that are in place for the job versus for the accomplishments on the racetrack.
Yeah, the passion of the sport.
When you look at a late model team that's winning, when you look at a sprint car team that's winning, that group is racers, dedicated racers. They will do anything to get to victory lane. And when you have that, you have got an ace in your hand in NASCAR.
Yep. Yep.
And when you look at what Hendrick has, he hires racers. That's who he hires, is dedicated racers. And same with Stuart Haas and Penske and those teams. When you look at what DGM is assembling, it's kind of like a misfit group, but they are all racers.
Yep.
And they will do anything to better themselves, or not themselves, better the team on the racetrack. And and when you have that, that is more powerful than paying millions of dollars for crew members.
Yep.
You have people working for a common goal, and they want to their pay is obviously the paycheck every Friday, but the pay for them, what they're working towards, is standing in victory lane.
Yep.
And when they make it there, it's over, and they want to make it back to victory lane. And that's what a group of racers is all about.
Well, speaking of victory lane, it was Chase Briscoe in victory lane last night in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Here's what Chase had to say about punching his ticket.
Great. It was definitely a really good night, and just awesome to start, you know, both rounds of the playoffs the way we did, you know, to dominate. And, you know, the car we were in tonight was actually the same car we ran at Vegas. So I wish this thing, we could take it to Phoenix, because it's been unbelievable this year. I think it's won 3 races and ran 2nd in the other one. So just hats off to everybody at Stewart Haas to be able to bring the caliber of cars that we brought to the playoffs. Hopefully we can continue this the next 3 weeks, and obviously most importantly at Phoenix.
Yeah, 9 wins. Count them up, 9 wins. Chase Briscoe doing a dynamite job in that number 98 car. We're going to hit a break. When we come back, how about we talk dirt? Let's get dirty. And we're going to do it with a guy that won a huge, huge race just last night. He's from St. Catharines, Ontario, and he lit the lamp. I'll have Big Matt on here next. Stay with us.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
This Dive Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bolt shopping.
Hey, Tom, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
It's the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. Quick fire starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. Quick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian. And so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com. Enter promo code RTR and save up to 20%. And they ship to your door. QuickWick Fire Starters. They work.
RevTV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. RevTV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Fox News Headlines 24/7 is on SiriusXM with headlines every 15 minutes.
I'm Kevin Brincone.
I'm Therese Crowley.
I'm Jim McKay.
A channel that delivers your world news, business, what's trending in digital, entertainment, and sports.
Your news in a way you've never heard before with headlines every 15 minutes.
Fox News Headlines 24/7. All the information you need, ready when you are.
We're live from America's News Headquarters.
SiriusXM Channel 115 or listen on the SiriusXM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio, live tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior, right here in the RTR studio. And we are going to go right back to the hotline, the biggest dirt modified race that I know of, and how about it? Canadian goes to victory lane, and before we even start with this guest, I got to thank Ryan Hunsinger, because without Ryan Hunsinger, I would have never caught the phone number for Matt Williamson that went to Victory Lane just last night in the biggest dirt modified race there is. Let's welcome him in. Matt, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, dynamite run for you last night. Never seen the race, but I was following along on Twitter. And I'll tell you what, I was so excited when I see you go to Victory Lane. That's great news.
Yeah, it was really, an eventful race. What Brad Dale put on with the Short Track Super Series down at Port Royal was one of a kind of event. And, these times, the way that COVID-19 has hit the racing world, it's cool to be able to race for some good money like that.
Well, you not only raced it, you beat one of the best that I know of. Stu Friesen had the lead with 18 to go, man, and you got him. You went to the outside on the restart, and you got him out there. Was that the preferred line? Or why did Stewie start down low if the outside was where to be?
I don't know. That's a good question you'd have to ask Stu, but we were rolling the bottom pretty good before the caution come out there with 18 to go. And when Stu elected to pick the bottom, I knew that he was probably going to try and flag you on me just to kill my momentum on the bottom. So kind of drove into one square, and he slid across the racetrack, crossed my nose, and I know I crossed him up and got some good run down the hill and down the back straightaway to pull even with him. And then in 3 and 4, I kind of did the same thing, slid up in front of him, crossed his nose, and kind of pulled away a little bit. So it was a pretty good race. I enjoyed racing with Stu.
So definitely strategy. Stewie was not only playing one game, but he was probably playing more than one. With a payday like $53,000, you'd just about do anything to win that race. And so good on you that you went out and did it. Not only this race, but Matt, you have been busy all season long, man. You've been in Quebec. You've been all over the place and winning races.
Yeah, I mean, we've had to make the best of this year. We haven't really followed a point series or a racetrack points title. We've got wins pretty much at every Canadian racetrack that we can, up in Quebec and Cornwall and Brockville and Maryville and Humberstone. And I've been fortunate to come over into the States and race. We had to fill out a lot of paperwork to do so, and it took a lot of time. But fortunately, everybody's understanding when you're trying to make a living doing this, and you got mortgage payments and chart payments and all that stuff that if you don't have the ability to come race in the States, you ain't paying your mortgage. So it's I'm pretty fortunate that I get to do that.
Absolutely. Now I've got to ask, leading into the beginning portion of the show here, we were about 5 minutes out, and I walk into the studio and Dad said we've got Big Money Matt on the air for tonight, and I was like, okay, Matt Hirschman, right? Big Money Matt Hirschman. Now, have you ever met Matt Hirschman? Have you ever talked? Because you guys share a heck of a name when you talk about any form of racing. If you're referred to as Big Money, then that means that you go and stand in Victory Lane quite a bit. Have you guys ever talked?
No, I've never met Matt. Obviously he probably had the nickname before I did, and it's not a self-proclaimed nickname. So this is the fans and that saying that. But yeah, we've won three races now that pay 50, 53, and 1,000 or 100,000 in the last 9 months or so. So it's been quite the whirlwind. But we got to live up to the nickname that everybody's been giving us, and keep on trucking along and try and take a lot of money out of this deal.
Absolutely. It's easier to make those mortgage payments when you start winning those races.
Exactly. Yeah.
Matt, talk a little bit about the health of obviously dirt racing is doing amazing right now. All forms of motorsports has to look at what dirt is doing, because dirt is, all forms of dirt, whether it be sprint cars, whether it be bombers at a local Saturday night track, or whether it be, the Dirt Car Nationals. All forms of dirt right now seem to be excelling in a big way. And talk to us a little bit about the health of the big block modified division because it seems like, you know, out of all of them, the big block modifieds have to be, you know, something that, you know, I'm interested to hear your opinion on what the health of the series is. Obviously, if you're racing for 53 grand, the series is pretty healthy and the division is healthy. But what's the status of big block modified racing currently?
You know, it's funny you're saying that because, you know, there's been talks on Facebook recently about how to improve the 358 division locally. And, you know, like you said, obviously that the big block division is pretty successful. I think there were 70 something cars this weekend at Port Royal for the Brett Dale show. So that's as good as it gets. You know, you don't need much more than that to put on a good show. And, that's what you need. So, locally to make it better. I don't know what the answers are, but, the road show seems to be good. Obviously we're racing for good money, 50,000. Last year we raced for 100, you know, a ton of 10,000 win shows and a ton of 7,500 win shows, 5,000. Obviously, you know, money brings more cars and more attraction to the sport. So, I don't know if it could get much better than that when it's traveling on the road, but locally I think it needs some work.
So, what do you do now, Matt? You got the big win. What's next on your radar? Super Dirt Week's got to be coming up.
No, Super Dirt Week actually happened last week.
Oh, did it last week?
They didn't do it at Oswego this year. It was Oktoberfest. They called it. They renamed it. It was, for me, it was 9 races in 6 days. 2 of them got rained out, so we ended up doing 7. We had okay runs. We had a couple top fives and a couple top tens. So we were okay, but next week we're looking forward to going to Eastern States at Orange County. That starts up Friday, and I'm really looking forward to it.
So will that be your last race of the year, or is there still more after that?
Right now there's talks about Charlotte for the World Finals, but I think that we're going to skip out on that. We're going to do, like I said, Eastern States next weekend, and then probably call it a year. Not sure whether Charlotte's going to happen for modified, but the whole quarantining thing, you know, going back and forth, it just it doesn't make sense for the Buzz Q car, so we're going to skip out on that.
Yeah, it eats up a lot of time, right? It's 14 days every time you take a trip out.
You know, it's I've been fortunate that when I came back into Canada, I get tested and. I can go racing and keep making a living and keep, you know, keep trying to bring some money in. But, it's a tough deal on everybody. And, it hasn't been easy.
That's a fun test too, right? I just had one on Friday where they take that drill up and go up your sinus. That doesn't feel real good.
No, it's horrible. It's horrible. So if I can avoid that, I'm going to.
I don't blame you, man. Did you spend any time with Stu yesterday? Did you guys have a beer at the end of the race after you beat him?
No, we just, you know, talked in Victory Lane a little bit. I got carted off and had to do an interview for Dirt Track Digest and, did that. And by the time I got back, everybody was kind of loaded up and, you know, we had beers amongst our team, but, everybody else was kind of gone home.
Matt, I'm always interested to hear the answer of this question when we talk to a dirt guy. I'm, of course, an asphalt guy. I've always been, and you know, I love dirt racing, too. I love all forms of motorsports, but I always like to hear the metric side, kind of on the business side of motorsports. Are you familiar with the metrics between asphalt racing and dirt racing at various levels? Like, what are the key differences between asphalt and dirt on mainly the cost side of things?
You know, obviously tires is a big thing. I think asphalt racing, you need to spend a lot more money on tires than what we need to. You know, if we race Merrittville every Saturday night, we can race 3 weeks on a set of tires, and then, you know, the third weekend we put a new right rear on, and then 4 weeks on a left rear, and right fronts and left fronts, you can get almost half a season out of them. So that's pretty cost effective for dirt racing. Fuel, obviously, both cars use gasoline or alcohol or whatever it is. That's those costs kind of, you know, X each other out together. And I mean, I'm not familiar with what it would cost to build an asphalt car, but the dirt stuff really isn't that bad. And, the stuff lasts a while. I mean, unless you crash it or wreck it, it's, you can use it for a few years.
any aspirations, Matt, of doing something like what Stewie's doing? He gets up into the truck series. He's got a successful career going there, and he still loves running dirt. He does it every time he's got a spare moment. Any aspirations for you to try and do something like that and jump into a NASCAR?
Obviously, you know, whatever I'm going to make the most money at, I'm going to do. I'm not sure that Stu's making as much money in the truck deal as he'd like to, and that's something to think about. But I got a pretty good thing going right now, and I'm happy with it. I mean, obviously, if opportunities came along where it gives you a chance to better yourself, you got to take them. But right now I'm pretty happy doing what we're doing.
Well, I guess so. And you're successful at it. You're representing not only your team but your country as well when you go do what you do. And I'll tell you what, no secret here. We are asphalt guys. This show is predominantly about asphalt stock car racing, but we do have a love for dirt, and we love it when a Canadian can go out there and do what you guys do. And congratulations on it. That 42 car, man, was that car messed up. I seen the photo of it on Twitter. You never want to see that happen. I can't believe that guy walked away.
No, I mean, you know, fortunately that the cars are built about as safe as we possibly can right now. And, you know, anytime you see something like that, somebody walk away from it, it makes you feel a little bit better about how the rules play out. And, you know, every time they add a rule for safety, you kind of complain about it. But then something like that happens, it makes you come back around.
Incredible. Man, all I can do is hope, pray, along with absolutely everybody in this virus, take a hike over the off season. And we can get back to normal in 2021. And I know I look forward. It's been years since I've been at Merrittville Speedway, but I'm coming back, man. I want to come back and watch you go.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you there. Come on down.
You betcha. Matt, thanks so much for the time tonight. Congratulations. Good luck next weekend. And like I said to a couple other guests tonight, bad news is we got your phone number now. We'll be checking in on you.
That's all right, guys. Call anytime. Thanks for having me on.
You bet, Matt. That's Matt Williamson. He did it. He did it this weekend at the biggest dirt modified race you can do, and he goes out there and wins the 200.
Port Royal is such a cool racetrack, too. You know, I've never been there.
It's got to be rocket fast, man.
It is. There's a tremendous amount of speed there. And you know, obviously Kyle Larson, you know, went to Victory Lane over there with the dirt late model. And then as well, I believe he won with the sprint car at the same track. But just a really neat facility. I've watched a couple races from there. I love that place. It's definitely pretty cool.
You got some wild stats there.
Yeah, so Robin Miller, of course, you know, long time, you know, ambassador for the sport in all forms. But the guy is a huge dirt fan, but he's also, you know, the lead guy in IndyCar. He posted something on Facebook that, you know, really caught my eye. And it goes to show the power of Kyle Larson right now. And of course, we've seen it. Everybody in motorsports has seen it. You just about get sick of seeing him in Victory Lane. He's in it so often. But this stat here is so incredible. But he posted, this is his post on Facebook, and this was 3 hours ago. But Kyle Larson led 90 of 100 laps on Sunday to win the Tony Bettenhausen 100 at Springfield, Illinois. Of course, in the USAC division. His 42nd victory of 2020 in 82 starts across five different types of cars.
Isn't that amazing?
42 victories, 82 starts, five different types of cars. That is an incredible statistic. And
yes.
We've never seen greatness like that.
No.
And now he's in great equipment every time he straps in. 100%. Of course he is.
Yeah.
But 42 wins is no joke, man.
You got to fly that helicopter.
It's insane to me that he has won 42 out of 82.
Yeah.
Like that is that's an astounding number, and everybody needs to take note of that. Obviously, lots of news coming down the pipe.
He's making his way back to NASCAR.
Reapplied, to get back into NASCAR. He hasn't been approved as of yet.
Right.
It's coming. I mean, the writing is on the wall that he's going to be back behind the wheel of a cup car eventually. We can't necessarily say where,
right?
But you know, it is coming. He's going to be back behind the wheel. But that run of 2020 will be one of the most memorable runs of any driver in our era right now,
yes.
In our current era.
Yep.
The determination and the grit just to simply race 82 times after what he went through, right?
Yep.
It's I mean, you lost everything over a comment.
Right.
And, you know, to claw back, not only go back to victory lane, but to go back to victory lane 42 times in 82 starts is incredible.
I'd like to know Stu Friesen's stats on dirt for the year 2020, because Stu has done a lot of winning. Now, he hasn't won 42 races, I don't believe.
No, there's no
but,
way.
But he's got a pretty good winning percentage.
Yeah.
In his dirt car, along with the truck.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
He's done a really good job this year, as he does every year.
Yep, he's done quite a bit, and you know, went to Victory Lane lots with that dirt modified, and really that Hallmark team. If it's not him in Victory Lane, it's one of the other Hallmark guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, definitely, he's had a great year, but not quite 42 and 82.
Well, I'm gonna hit our final break. We still got more to come here tonight on Race Time. Stay with us.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Get your race fix anytime online.
www.racetimeradio.com.
Also available on Facebook.
Just search Racetime Radio.
And as always, you can drop us an email.
info@racetimeradio.com.
From two wheels to four, and so much more, Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a Quick Wick. These fire starters work, no paper or kindling, and presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes, just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to quickwick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. Quick Wick, they work.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio here on SiriusXM. Channel 167, Canada Talks, of course, every Sunday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the channel. You can also find us on the SiriusXM app. I do believe, if not, they're working on it. You can tune into the show. Maybe you missed it and you want to listen to the whole program. You can do that. Get to racetimeradio.com and click on the Listen Now button. Or you can go to iTunes and just search Racetime Radio. And it'll come up. We're on iTunes as well. You can hit like and subscribe, and then you'll never miss Racetime Radio again. Every time we key the mic, it goes up there. And we also want to welcome in our listeners on the Performance Motorsportnetwork.com as they air Racetime Radio at least three times throughout the course of the week. Hello to absolutely all of the listeners there. 98.9 XFM in Ignish and Gearhead Country Radio. But I digress. Junior, we got to wish a big happy birthday to Alex Stagliani. It's his birthday today.
Hey, cool.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Alex.
Yeah. So what's happening on your Twitter machine here? We got a few minutes before we got to throw it back to Toronto.
There's been lots. I suggest everybody go and take a look at Kevin Swindell's. There was a big wreck in a Thunder car.
Is that the one you were showing me?
Yeah.
There's
definitely a big impact.
But, that wasn't Kevin Swindell in that car.
No, God, no.
Kevin posted it. Gotcha.
But it's really interesting to see the feedback. You know, we kind of covered it off at the beginning of the show. There's a very split opinion, I guess you could say, on whether today's cup race was a good one or not.
Mm.
Lots of interesting feedback, of course. Joey Logano, not exactly the most popular guy in the NASCAR garage.
Did he do today? Well,
no, it's just it seems like everybody's always on the guy.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's always on the guy.
Listen, Joey Logano did the IWK 250
great guy.
Bunch of years ago.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, Joey Logano is a real deal.
But
he was a blast. He was accommodating. He signed every autograph.
Yep.
That guy, and not just at the IWK 250. I've been at Homestead Miami Speedway to cover off Ford Championship weekend. Joey Logano there, knowing him from the IWK 250, getting interviews with Joey was no problem at all.
Yep.
Throughout that weekend and at Daytona.
Yep.
Over the years. And yep. Joey Logano has always been like
above board.
Oh,
yeah.
Typical East Coast guy.
Exactly.
Really is.
Yep.
Really is.
Good guy.
When
you look at it, though, he's a very polarizing guy on the racetrack.
He's a winner.
He is a winner.
He wants
for sure.
to go for the win.
Yeah. Yep,
nothing
definitely.
Wrong with that.
No. And, you know, when you look at today's results, you know, and the fan base kind of taking a look at it, I'm really looking forward to seeing what this new car can do for 1.5 mile racing in NASCAR. I think it's going to be a game changer. I really hope so as well. I just really hope that, you know, with what they've got going on at super speedways and at short tracks, I love the package. I love what NASCAR has got going on. Now, Bristol is a little bit of a different ball game,
right. But
really, when you watch a race from Richmond or you watch a race from Martinsville, you know, or even the longer style tracks like Loudon and you know, Phoenix even, they put on some great racing today with the car that they've got. The only program that I think it's echoed across the sport is 1.5 miles, and they
That's
need to
That's been
do
their
something.
Achilles heel
it has
for a
been,
long
hasn't it?
Time.
Yep. It has been the Achilles yes. heel in NASCAR.
Yep. And
they
know
put
it.
A lot of eggs.
They know it.
They put a lot of eggs in that basket. And when you look at the schedule changes, you know, heading into 2021, that's a radically different schedule.
Yep.
You know, they obviously
is.
Dropped one race at Texas Motor Speedway for next year.
That surprised me.
That goes to COTA over at, you know, the road course at the Circuit of the Americas. And as well, you know, we see the reintroduction of the Nashville Super Speedway. I'm seeing a lot more guys calling for NASCAR's top three series to go back to short tracks.
Yes.
Like to go back to tracks like, and now of course Myrtle Beach is torn down now, but
right.
that was always a racetrack that everybody threw out there. Hickory and Myrtle Beach and Winchester.
Wouldn't
it
be cool to see them at Five Flags? Five Flags?
Be.
Yeah. Like the character that's built into Five Flags Speedway in Pensacola.
Yeah.
I
mean, when you look
New
at
Smyrna.
It, this year was an opportunity for that to happen because there was no fans allowed for a large portion.
Well,
and
we've
I think
NASCAR Pindies roll into Flamborough Speedway here in Canada.
I think that was
that
missed
was
opportunity
cool.
by NASCAR not to go to a track like that this year, like through the pandemic. Now, obviously, you can't fit 80,000 people at Winchester.
No.
You can't fit 80,000 people at Five Flags.
No.
But you could fit 15,000 to 20,000 people at some of those tracks,
mm-hmm.
and you could put on a whale of a show. I think that there's room for it in the sport. I think that there's room for it not necessarily financially, but I think that there's room for it. And, you know, I think if they could get across the hurdle of the financial aspect of it, not having the huge crowds and those types of things. And I think that's one of the things that, that we're looking at right now. We're staring down the barrel of a shotgun. And it goes back to, we're going to see innovation from this virus. And I think that that is one of the places where NASCAR could innovate.
This virus has to go. It just flat out, it has to go. It is killing the sport. Now, I know you don't see it when you watch a NASCAR race on television, but that's all TV money.
Yep.
And I know, you know, like Matt won the big dirt race down in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has been running pretty well normal since about halfway through the season.
Yeah.
But I can't point at any place like that here in Canada.
No, God.
Like,
no,
none.
No, absolutely not.
New Brunswick had a good run. They put together a few races. It worked out well. They social distanced, all that stuff. But I'll tell you, here in the province of Ontario, this was a killer.
Financially,
and it continues
though,
to be a killer.
Yeah.
This very radio show, I got to tell you, if Todd Robertson from Napa, out in Nova Scotia, Andy Ganish, Port Hawkesbury, and New Glasgow, if Todd did not step forward and jump on this show, and we thank you, Todd, and your brothers. If they didn't do that, I'll tell you what, Racetime Radio would have a real, real good shot at not being on the air right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, without their support, we would be dead in the water. Yep. Our financially, this has been devastation. Yep. All of our live races, other than the Flamborough one, and we did it at cost.
Yeah.
There was, like, we had nothing this year.
Yeah.
And it has been detrimental. We've worked a lot of hours, a lot of years, and invested a lot of money to get to where we are.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for Napa and Quickwick now on board, I'll tell you what, we would be screwed.
Yeah, exactly.
We would be. And I hate to say that.
No.
This pandemic's got to go.
You do mention that portion. But I also think that if you look at the sport as a whole, a majority of the people who are actually putting the show on, mm-hmm. right, that are on the racetrack,
yep.
are guys and teams that were working all the way through this pandemic.
They were.
They're blue collar.
But they were racing for half the value APC.
But,
and that's dead and that's wrong.
Well, not just APC, across the board.
Well, it's wrong.
But when
it's
you look
wrong.
At when you look at the financial place that a majority of the teams are in, now there are teams that are negatively affected by this pandemic.
Sure.
But
lots.
There was a tremendous amount less racing across the board. But I think every time the guys did roll into the racetrack, they were in a much better mood, and we've seen a much happier
sure.
competitor base.
Oh, yeah, much
now,
better mood,
you know,
better all of that. But I'll tell you what, financially, it didn't make sense.
But
it didn't make sense then, and it doesn't make sense today.
No, but I think that we're the competitor base is going to be in a better place on the other side of this pandemic.
Let's hope.
I think there was
a lot
of people that spent a lot less money this year than they were planning on spending.
Yeah.
And I think that heading into the other side of this deal, that, you know, when we can go back to normal and we can have a full grandstand and all of those great things,
right?
I think that we're going to be in a better place.
Well,
I think the industry is going to be in a better place.
I hope they didn't learn anything this year and start paying teams half as much money to race, because we can't put our toe all the way into the water come spring, because we have we just got the vaccine and only half the people are vaccinated and all that crap, and things aren't sorted out till the end of the year. I'm telling you. It's going to be devastation, and that's just no good. This thing's got to go, or we need federal funding. And I don't mean, I mean everybody that's in the sport needs that federal funding, or they're going to lose this industry. And I hate to say it, but I'm a realist, and that's the truth. But you know what? That's going to do it for us tonight. We are done. Got to thank Susie here in the Racetime Radio studio. Scotty back in Toronto. Oh, we'll see you next Sunday right here, 7 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss it.
White flag is out. One to go. No pressure from behind, buddy.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.